This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. A young, divorced mother of two was diagnosed with cervical cancer. She found out that she could have laser surgery for this cervical cancer, and on the morning of that surgery, she was alone at home. And she was panicked. Her heart was beating out of her chest. Her young children were at school. Her mother was out of state tending for another ill relative. Her father was about to come and pick her up in about a half an hour. All of her friends were working, and she felt entirely alone. And she could not quell the fear. Now, she believed in God. And she had had a practice of prayer and meditation on a regular basis, though she didn't quite feel a connection with Jesus. And so, trying to calm herself, she sat down in front of her stereo and she turned on some peaceful music and she began to attempt to meditate, to calm. And surprisingly, she began to pray to Jesus. She said it just came over her, and she began to pray for healing. And she said she had her eyes closed, and she felt a presence next to her. And she felt an arm around her shoulder. She was afraid to open her eyes. It was so real. And then she knew. She said she knew that it was Jesus Christ. And she leaned her head on his shoulder, and her fear vanished. Vanished. And that was 13 years ago, and the cancer has never returned. Another story I heard last week at a meeting, a local priest down at St. Paul's, Kathleen Gannon, some of you know, was telling a story of a parishioner that had come to her, also diagnosed with cancer. And this was a much more terminal situation. She was given months, maybe a year, to live. Well, this woman proceeded to go for that year and went from friend to friend to friend to family member and began to put things in order. She asked for forgiveness. She forgave other people. She celebrated the joy of the love of family and friends. And by the end of that year, she went to her doctor, and they could find no cancer. The cancer was gone. And she told Kathleen that she felt she was healed. Well, the cancer came back not long after that. And again, she was speaking with her priest and said, "You know, I'm healed. It doesn't matter now. Everything is going to be all right." And she was joyful. She said, "I was healed. Maybe not cured of my physical illness, but I am at peace." Now, at the risk of getting all chicken soup for the soul on you, I do have another story that I'll be saying at the end of my sermon that gives you, just fair warning, that gives you another unique and exquisite example of healing in relationships. Because that is how healing happens. Divine healing happens in relationships. Relationships between us and God. And by the way, that's a two-way conversation. And relationships between us and other people. Us in community. That's how healing happened. And it happened that way also in last week's gospel and this week's. And really, they're all one story. So I'd like to talk about that story, but do so in just a little bit of a different way. And I would ask, if you would, to imagine, really imagine, that you were with Jesus Christ. And even if you're brand new to this church, maybe you've never walked into a church before in your life, just imagine that you lived in the first century and that you were one of the four disciples that he called. You were either Simon or his brother Andrew, or you're John or his brother James. And your life has just taken a radical shift because you've done a spontaneous and crazy thing that you still can't figure out. You were fishermen, and this man, Jesus, came to you and asked you to drop your nets and follow him, and you up and did it. You up and did it. Yesterday was the Sabbath, and being good Jewish men, you all went to synagogue together, and Jesus began teaching, and he began teaching with authority, and such authority that all the people were amazed. Remember from last week, they were all astounded. So you looked around at your friends and said, I knew we should have followed this guy. You see what's happening? And you too were amazed and astonished. And then this gentleman in the midst of the crowd, who was obviously deeply troubled, spoke out and yelled out, and Jesus went to him and healed him. Well, everybody was buzzing, even during the service. And afterwards, word was spreading like wildfire about this man. And the five of you went on to Simon and Andrew's house, and there Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed, and you figured, well, let's tell him about her. Maybe he can heal her too, and you did. And he went over to her, took her by the hand, and lifted her up, and she was healed. She was healed. So now twice you've seen him do this in one day, a miraculous healing. She was so happy to finally be back to her normal self that she prepared an amazing meal for them. And they all stayed together that afternoon and had a really good time, and they decided to spend the night. Little did they know, though, little did you know, that all the crowds from the synagogue had brought the entire city outside the house. The whole city had gathered. So now, Jesus, in a matter of hours, has taken on this rock star status. It would be kind of like, oh, I don't know, Eli Manning or Tom Brady on Super Bowl Sunday, maybe. Maybe Justin Bieber to a 9-year-old girl. I think 9-year-olds, right? Or maybe it would have been like the crowds that gathered around the Beatles in their heyday. This was not a rock star, though. This was something even beyond that. But the crowds could not get over it. And he didn't have a limousine to whisk him away, and he didn't have bodyguards. And it wouldn't have mattered anyway, because what does he do? He goes outside and he heals many, the text tells us. He healed them. He healed them. You didn't even notice if he went to bed that night. He could have been up all night for all you know, but in the morning, you realize he's gone. And you all go searching for him everywhere, and you can't find him. And finally, you do, way out in the middle of nowhere. And he's peaceful, and he's sitting, and he's been praying. And you're frantic, and you're saying, there's people to heal. There's people to hear. What are you doing? And Jesus says, let's go on to the next town. For this is what I came to do, to teach and to heal. What he had done, though, was that he took a Sabbath time. He had worked the whole Sabbath. He was exhausted. And he took the time he needed for rest. For rest. It's not one of the Ten Commandments for nothing. And we all can do well to remember our Sabbath time. And I'm preaching to myself here for sure. We all could do well to remember that. So they go on and followed Christ because he knew his mission and he knew he needed help and he was focused on what he was supposed to do. And the crowds continued to follow him. So, pretty amazing story, right? Pretty amazing, this man, Jesus. This man, Jesus. And what are we now supposed to do with this information that we hear, this gospel message, this light that we hear week in and week out? to know that all will be well? Well, praise God. If you have found a way of prayer and centering, of studying the Bible so that you can recenter on a regular basis, because I don't know about you, but I know I need it every single day, if not more, to come back to center, to come back to center. And we have to acknowledge people that might be hearing about this power greater than themselves for the very first time, maybe some of you. We have to acknowledge the times when all of us, regardless of how deep our faith, regardless of how deep our faith is, the times when we feel despair, when we are grieving the loss of someone who is no longer living, when we are grieving for someone who's in trouble or sick, or maybe for ourselves, or grieving for difficult things that we hear about in this world that trouble us, or in school or our workplace. And we all need to have continued renewal and healing and rest, to be inspired, to have that pep talk. We all need that. And today, we need only look back to Isaiah, to look back to Isaiah in that amazing reading, one of our favorite verses, I'm sure for many of you. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And another one from our morning prayer and evening prayer that said at the end of the service as people go out, glory to God whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. We human beings do need renewal. And when we risk believing in something greater than ourselves, and when we risk being vulnerable enough to go to our God and ask for help, to pray to Jesus, to ask others for help when we need it, and to be there for others when they need it, the circle is complete. And we're renewed, and we're brought back to center and more and more, and begin to live in a peace that passes understanding. Even in the midst of how troubled we might be, there can be a peace that is deep within you that no one can take away. That no one can take away. And if you think you'll be left out, because we human beings also, there's always this yes but going on in our heads. Well, what about nobody's experiencing quite what I'm experiencing, if you only knew. We look back to Isaiah again. And God is calling them all by name because he is great in strength, mighty in power, and not one is missing. Not one. That means you, and that means me. Not one is missing. And this love must be received. We have to say yes to it and then express it. Because love not expressed and not experienced is hard to trust. Let me say that again. Love not expressed and love not experienced is hard to trust. So we have to practice it, and we have to be what we want to receive. We have to be what we want to receive. That's why God came to earth as one of us, because he knew that we needed someone like us in the nearness of another human being. He knew that he needed to come and incarnate as one of us, so that we would have that guidance and that presence in our lives, and so that we too can be part of God's plan to heal this hurting world in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. These words of Clarissa Pinkola Estes in a book that was written a long time ago called Women Who Run With the Wolves reminds us, though, that any of us can do our part. And I quote, ours is not the task of fixing the entire world all at once, but of stretching out to mend the part of the world that is within our reach Any small, calm thing that one soul can do to help another soul, to assist some portion of this poor, suffering world will help immensely. It is not given to us to know which acts or by whom will cause the critical mass to tip toward an enduring good. What is needed for dramatic change is an accumulation of acts, adding to, adding more, and continuing to bring justice and peace. So now here's that third story. This is of a young man, and it's written by a surgeon by the name of Richard Selzer. An exquisite example of simple, beautiful healing, of which we are all capable. I stand by the bedside where a young woman lies, her face post-operative, her mouth twisted, palsy, clownish. A tiny twig of the facial nerve, the one to the muscles of her mouth, had to be severed to remove the tumor in her cheek. I had cut the little nerve. The young husband is in the room, and he stands on the opposite side of the bed, and together they seem to dwell in the evening lamplight, isolated from me, private. And yet the young woman says to me, "Will my mouth always be like this?" "Yes," I say, "it will. It's because the nerve was cut." She nods and is silent, but the young man smiles. "I like it." He bends to kiss her crooked mouth, and I am so close that I can see how he twists his own lips to accommodate her, to show her that their kiss still works. I hold my breath and let the wonder in. Amen.